This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Lee, my mind is still blown by this. We're getting an idea of the size of the terrorist nation that is inside, the terrorist army that is inside this nation. Sarah Carter warned about it. She is a former CIA analyst, left the CIA, opened her own private shop, and she has been trying to warn us about the vast number of terrorists inside this country. She believes that the attack will come before the end of the year. And she said they were already trained, a lot of them in Afghanistan. They're already in place. And she's been warning about it. And sure enough, what does Trump do? He goes into office, and before he can get the millions of illegal immigrants out, he has to prioritize the gangbangers and the terrorists who Joe Biden apparently allowed to roam free. We're getting an idea overnight of just how insane that was, how big of a problem he created. Since January 20th, somehow Donald Trump has been able to find and round up for deportation, these are illegal immigrants, 219 terrorists. And it's unbelievable. Can you remember the days after 9/11, what that was like?
Oh, yeah. Very well.
During the same period in 2024, Joe Biden rounded up 24. Trump got 219. It's just a matter of motivation. That's a 655% increase. And a lot of these terrorists were caught. They were caught at the border. They're illegal immigrants. Then released. Some of them were illegally given Social Security numbers and signed up for welfare. And when you put this together, and there's no way they don't know this, okay? She's been screaming and yelling, doing podcasts. Anyone who listens, she's the one who was the Benghazi investigator for Congress. She's very well respected. She went out after that. She's got her own private shop. She does intel analysis. And she says that the CIA, our intel agencies are just, you know, they're missing what's going on. And I think it's not that. I think there's a policy for whatever reason of deliberately letting those people into this country. I don't know what it is. But just the sheer number of them, 219. And we know they let at least 120 of them go because we had that congressional report to the House Select Committee last year. So there's a reason when they catch them and they're on terror want list, they let them go. We just don't know what it is yet. There's got to be, and we'll get it. We'll get the paper. We'll get the memos. There's got to be some reason they did this. Look, 120 votes aren't worth all that trouble. It's not that. It's something else. Here's Sarah Adams' prediction. This is on the Sean Ryan podcast.
The other thing is, in the United States, we haven't had fidelian attackers. So the concept is the terrorist fights to the death. So he's not exactly a suicide bomber, but he will fight till either all of us are dead or all of his people are dead. We think it's going to be a swarming attack, right? Multiple different attacks at one time across multiple cities. We think there will be suicide bombers just because some of the attackers went through suicide bomber training and they have these vests. And then we think there's these fidelian attackers who will carry on until they're killed.
Just rephrase that. So these guys are trained and they are going to fight until they're killed.
Yes. And that matters, right? So I was watching this video and it was a suicide bombing in Kabul years ago.
She goes on to talk about it. She says there's over 1,000 of them in the country and they're ready to go. They're just waiting. They're just waiting to go ahead. They're not. And I bet that's what Trump's picking up. She's not. Turns out she knew what she's talking about. 219 since January 10th. Just picking them up, picking them up, picking them up.
And meanwhile, Democrats are distracted by El Salvador.
Oh, yeah. No, don't be surprised if they don't transition to defending some of these terrorists when Trump tries to get rid of them. I think for them, they have hit such a moral low. I think anything's possible now with the left. I think they have plumb lost their mind. They're not hiding who they are anymore, which is good. That helps us, right? But, you know, just you're starting to see the depths of the depravity here. I mean, it's crazy. It's truly nuts. Meanwhile, just to give you an example, okay? Headline. This is Washington Free Beacon. Democrat senator visits detained Colombia activist who said he can empathize with Hamas's decision to massacre Jews. Okay. This guy, it was Senator Peter Welch, Vermont, visited detained Columbia University activist Moshe Madawi. Okay, Madawi's brother and cousin were part of the force. You know the guys who flew in on the hang gliders?
Oh, yeah, at the concert there.
Yes, the innocent people raped, murdered, and mowed down.
And taken hostage.
And taken hostage. And paraded naked, the women, through the streets, their dead bodies, so they could be spat upon. They're really great people. You'd love them if you got to know them, I'm sure. Those people. That's who he has spoken out in favor of and defended. That exact same group that did the October 7th attack. This is how bad this guy is. He calls his brother and cousin martyrs. They're with the Al-Qassim Martyrs Brigade. Again, those are the guys with the hang gliders. And he calls them martyrs. They were killed. Well, yeah, because they did the hang glider attack. They're not murderers. They're murderers. They're terrorists. Okay? This guy is running around campus, lionizing his cousin as a fierce resistance fighter. Resistance? There wasn't any resistance. They were innocent kids at a concert. Mm-hmm. They weren't even armed. You slaughtered them. And this idea, well, you know, Israel, and he goes on here, this guy, it was Israel. What did they do? They gave you guys Gaza. You had it. It was yours. They handed it to you. They handed the businesses, the wineries, the properties, the houses. All you had to do was move in. They gave it to you 100%. Handed you the keys. That's it. And we've got Democrat senators visiting this guy, who says he can empathize with Hamas's decision to massacre Jews. For what reason they gave you Gaza? There is no... Lee, this is one of these few conflicts in life. You almost never see this in a war. It is black and white.
Yeah.
It is not gray.
Yeah.
Israel was completely innocent here. There is zero culpability for Israel. None. They attacked from Gaza. A piece of land they were given completely. Israel cut ties with it.
That they were almost daily attacking Israel with from anyway.
I know.
I mean, forget October 7th. Just set that aside.
Yeah.
There was constant attacks by Hamas terrorists, missile attacks and other forms of mayhem that they were, you know, inflicting on the Israeli people for years from Gaza, for years.
If we don't nip this in the bud, instead of there just being an MS-13 caucus in Congress where they love the gang, big fans.
The Hamas caucus.
There's going to be a Hamas caucus. Yeah. There's going to be an ISIS caucus, and there's going to be an Al-Qaeda caucus because Hamas has the same terror designation as ISIS and Al-Qaeda. You let these people on campus to recruit, because that's what this guy is doing, then you know what? Katie, bar the door, because ISIS and Al-Qaeda can do the same thing. They are all State Department designated terror organizations. Every single one of them. There is no difference between them. And that, Lee, doesn't even count the anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Scott Jennings nailed this. A bunch of liberals on CNN trying to say, oh, Trump's taking away our free speech. What, to praise Hamas martyrs? You don't get to do that on a visa. That's recruiting. Sorry. You don't have free speech rights here. You don't. You are recruiting for a designated terror org. What is that? That is material support for terror. Here's Scott Jennings trying to explain this to the other people at CNN.
I assume you all know what's been going on these campuses. They are chasing the Jewish kids around the campuses. They are terrorizing them. They are violating their civil rights. The administration believes they have violated their federally protected rights. This all goes back to the core issue. The Ivy League schools and a lot of universities did not stand up for Jewish students when they should have and when they were warned by the U.S. Congress last year. They should have done it then. Now they're locked in these battles. Now you all say these campuses should fight back against Trump. Who are they fighting for? The people who are terrorizing the Jewish kids? I hope that's not what you mean. I think Trump is standing up for these Jewish students in a good way, and I hope
this
he prevails.
This is irrelevant from that, Scott.
It is not.
We
this
obviously
is the core issue.
Need to leave.
Ah, you know, just a little spitting on Jews. No big deal. Like, this is why attacks on, you had this in your news, on Jewish people are up 900%. This is the left doing this. Mm-hmm. They are losing control of the leftist grassroots. That's why you saw them. You saw that guy trying to burn down the governor's mansion. Why the governor looked
in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Looked rattled when he finally came out and realized, wow, it's not a MAGA. It's it wouldn't be. We're not anti-Semites. You guys are. You got a problem. You got a problem in your grassroots. And now we have Democrat senators embracing people. I mean, what are you doing on a visa in this country if your brother and your cousin were on the hang gliders? What are you doing in this country if you are running around speaking favorably of them as martyrs? How did you get, was there not a vetting process at the front door? We don't need you that badly. We don't. We can find somebody else to take that slot. I'm sure somebody from some country, some nice young man, would love to have your slot. And you know what's going on here, folks? It's nothing less than Marco Rubio and Donald Trump trying to keep the left from turning these universities into hot beds of terror from which terror attacks are planned and terrorists are recruited. That is where we are, and normalizing the idea of, hey, what is let's, and you know what? We'll give out the ISIS scholarship every year. What as well? We'll set aside five places for Al-Qaeda. It's only fair. You ever look your dog in the eyes because they look you in the eyes the way a human does and wonder what's going on in that head? You ever suspected it's a lot more than you could prove? And it's funny, dogs are pretty cool and all. But if you ever had one, you really get to know them, and you can kind of get to know them by their facial expressions. They have very distinct personalities. And you start to realize there's a lot more going on in there. You can just kind of figure it out, even though they can't speak. But you wonder if they can reason and how much. There have been some great studies on it, actually. Well, this story, folks, I love this story. I was glued to this story. Out of Arizona, did you hear about this? Happened earlier this week, but people are just now finding out about it. There's a two-year-old. This is every parent's worst nightmare. Two-year-old little boy, and he's in the house with mom. Dad's outside, and he's working on the roof. Somehow, two-year-old Bowden Allen got out of the house around 5 p.m. on Monday. Now, picture this. This is Arizona, right? Like, not too far from the Grand Canyon. I mean, it's desert. Desert is really, really dangerous. And once you go out in a desert, it's very easy to get extremely lost, and it's very easy for it to be very hard to find you. He disappeared while the mom, Sarah Allen, was caring for their one-year-old. Sarah said she heard her older child walk out of the house. When she called for him, he didn't answer, triggering a panicked search. They couldn't find him. And it started, got more intense every moment. Well, when a child goes missing like that and goes missing in the desert, it's, you know, it's four alarm. And they called in family members and eventually contacted the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office, kicking off a search effort comprising more than 40 rescuers, Department of Public Safety helicopter, and spotted two mountain lions in the area. You know how terrifying that is for parents. Kid's gone. He's finished. It looks like they can't find him. But then somebody did. And it was not the rescue workers.
That's literally the worst he got, and it's not even deep. Just a scuff, basically.
Two-year-old Bowden back home safe with only a scratch.
It's unreal and it's unbelievable. It's a miracle.
His parents speaking out for the first time since the toddler wandered away from their Arizona home on Monday while dad was doing work on the roof and mom was taking care of his one-year-old sibling.
I didn't even know how to process. I looked at his empty bed in the middle of the night and I'm like, this isn't real. He's not, how is he not here? How is he out by himself somewhere in the dark, like alone? Like, how is that even real?
It's like the worst living nightmare parents could ever feel.
Authorities mounting a massive search involving more than 40 rescuers who worked through the night in the Arizona desert just south of the Grand Canyon.
Working 141, be advised, DPS Rangers, airborne in the next 10 minutes.
Units and a state police helicopter spotting two mountain lions in the area, but no sign of the two-year-old Bowden. That's when this farmer's dog,
Buford, come on,
stepped up.
It's in their blood, you know, their guardians and stuff.
Buford, the Anatolian Pyrenees, usually protects his family's ranch from coyotes and wildlife. But that night, he found the two-year-old sleeping under a tree miles away from home and escorted him back to safety.
I look up and the little kid standing there with my dog. It, well, knowing that he was the missing child, it was, yeah. It was a relief that he was alive.
Rancher Scotty Dunton retraced the toddler's footsteps from his ranch for at least a mile. Buford, he said, was with him the whole time.
I feel like God sent that dog to rescue my son.
He's here. He's healthy. He's fine. Like nothing ever happened. Yeah. Like it just still feels like a dream.
But you're feeling okay now?
Yep.
He's so cute too. Yeah. No. Okay. Here's the crazy part. So the dog has the roam of the ranch. And I assume when I read this, I said, oh, I bet he's a herding dog. So, it wouldn't be unusual for him. His instincts just herd the child. He's not. They aren't herding dogs. They are guard dogs. And my daughter and I first saw these dogs. They're all over the place in Utah because we stayed on ranches. We stayed on Airbnbs as we went. They are really, really big. And they are out there specifically to protect the livestock from mountain lions and coyotes for the most part. And they get to roam of the ranch. And that's what they like to do. They're guard dogs. But they're not herding dogs. And so Buford, the dog, has the roam of the ranch, and their ranch is many, many acres. So that's why he was out. Okay, listen to this. This kid made it 2 years old into the desert by himself, 7 miles from home. That's why the search and rescue missed him, because they were grid searching within that 2 mile zone. When you have somebody who's two, I mean, they usually can't get much further than that. He got much further than that. 7 miles away. The rancher comes out the door. There's Buford standing there in a front gate with the two-year-old. Just standing there. Crazy, right? He brought him home. He brought him home. So if you wanted, so he said, you know, he hunts, he tracks. So he said, you know, after this happened, I obviously called the police and the parents were thrilled. Research, and by the way, searchers nowhere near where he was. This kid got so lucky. So he wanted to know, like, how far, like, did this kid just wander down the, you know, wander to my gate or how far? And he tracked him, as he said in the news story, a mile back by just watching, like, the little footprints from the little shoes and the dog's prints next to it. Brought him home. You know how much intelligence that takes? You know how much critical thinking that takes? Wow, here's a toddler. He didn't belong out here. I think I'll bring him in. Yeah, and especially as a parent, it would chill your blood hearing, yeah, they saw two mountain lions out there, but not your two-year-old. Whew. Crazy. Anyway, so this has been going on all week, and the rescue folks made him an honorable member of the rescue team. It just makes you think, if you've got a dog, maybe a little more is going on behind those eyes than they can convey to you. Texter writes, I've had a Pyrenees for years. They're unbelievable guard dogs, but they're impossible to fence in. What, do they get out? Wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, the ones in Utah that we saw when my daughter and I were driving, there were a lot of them. You'd drive by ranches, you'd see them. But they, yeah, not a one of them was penned. You're right, they weren't. They're all wandering around. They don't go anywhere. But they just protect the livestock. They love it. Texter writes, I've owned Pyrenees, and I can tell you that dog would have fought to the death to protect that child from all predators. That's so cool. And finally, Texter writes, tear out Trump's China care policy would really work. He did the same thing in real estate 40 years ago. I would suggest that you read chapters 2 and 4 of Art of the Deal, and you'll see how Trump's China care policy would really work. Look, folks, earlier some people arguing with me, hey, you can't take down China. It's not going to happen. I'm not saying he's going to do it. Please don't misunderstand. I'm saying, can we just consider the possibility that China's a lot weaker than we know and that Trump could win here? I just consider the possibility, weigh the odds, and look at what could the world be like. For us, for them, for everyone. Just for a minute before we return to the market's going to crash hysteria.
For the last 50 years, American children have increasingly been living in a toxic soup of synthetic chemicals. The scientific community has conducted a number of studies raising concerns about the correlation between petroleum-based synthetic dyes and several health conditions, such as attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, obesity, diabetes, insulin resistance, cancer, genomic disruption, GI issues, as I've seen in the hospital, and allergic reactions. For example, this Lancet study conducted a randomized, double-blinded, placebo-controlled study on food diets and concluded that artificial colors in the diet, quote, result in increased hyperactivity. Today, the FDA is taking action to remove petroleum-based food dyes from the U.S. food supply and from medications.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Our side is celebrating. But it might be a little premature. The headline is RFK Jr. unveils plan to phase out 8 artificial food dyes in the U.S. These are all known carcinogens. There's no doubt about it. They've been banned in most Western countries. Except one problem. There's only outright deauthorization for the use of 2 of them. They're very rarely used. Those 2 have been deauthorized. The other 6 that are in a lot of things. You'd be surprised what they're in if you start reading the label. They have not been banned. In fact, this plan is only voluntary. It's a verbal, not even written agreement with a lot of these big manufacturers they've been getting together with. And they've got, depending on the dye, 2 years to do it. Which to me, you're going to get to keep poisoning kids for 2 more years? I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. I'm sorry. It just looks like too much of a capitulation to me. And a texter earlier in the show made a really great point about this. This whole idea, well, we need to hold their hands while they transition away from poisoning us with petroleum products, which, by the way, are also used to dye your clothes. You want to eat the dye in your clothes? That sound like a good idea to you? No, because it's not. It's not a good idea. They know it's poison. They know it is. So to give them 2 years, well, you know, it might take a while to change their supply. Like, no, folks, these companies, for instance, Fruit Loops, do you realize they make the poison kind for us and the not poison kind from Canada and Europe? They already do this. They know how to do. They know they could use vegetable dyes. They know another generation of kids does not need to sit there in kindergarten eating Skittles and getting neurological disorders from it. Now, the good news is they're going to start to put warnings on the packages about the dyes. That's a step in the right direction as American people start to realize their children are being poisoned with these dyes. For what reason? I can't tell you. Pennies on the dollar saved. It's not even that. I mean, we're talking about pennies per product. This is not expensive stuff. It's not. This is just so pointless. I'm very, very disappointed. I'm disappointed in them. I really am. We need more of this. Let me explain to you how this works, okay? Do you remember as RFK is coming into office, when Trump's been elected, we know RFK is going to be Health and Human Services Secretary, right? And Biden yanked red dye number 6. How did he do that? Well, red dye number 6 has been against the law for quite some time, decades. Congress passed a law, and it was very simple. It said if anything is discovered to be carcinogenic, in other words, causes cancer, then the FDA would immediately have the ability, no further legislation necessary, to yank the approval for its use. Not only would they have the ability to do it, it is mandated by law. So it was a scandal that for decades, for instance, red dye number 6. Red dye number 6 has been banned in makeup for years and years and years. Why? Well, it causes cancer. You shouldn't be able to put it on your skin, but still approved for food. Well, yeah, the food lobby, they have a lot more money than the makeup lobby, apparently. So we eat it, but you can't put it on your skin because it'll give you cancer. Makes sense. Anyway, they use that law to yank it from the makeup. Again, the law is not optional. If it is discovered to be carcinogenic, it must be removed. Okay? So what RFK, and I mean, I don't want to, I'm glad he's there. At least we're talking about this. But RFK and Marty Mercari just went, okay, we'll let you break the law for like 2 more years. And we're not going to mandate it. We're not going to pull the authorization for it. But please take it out of food. You know, maybe these companies will, but I don't trust them to do the right thing. I don't. They all lobbied really hard against RFK. This is not good enough. You know why? Because it lets them run out the clock to try to keep this stuff in our food. There is no reason for this. No reason for this. So The two rarely used synthetic dyes that Day pulled, Citrus Red number 2 and Orange B, they almost never use them. Those will go in the coming months. You know what that tells us? The others could, too. The 6 other petroleum-based dyes that the federal health agencies are seeking to eliminate by the end of next year, green number 3, red number 40, yellow number 5, yellow number... But by the way, those yellows, you could... They are so bad for boys. They interfere with their hormonal development. Girls, too, probably, but we know for sure with boys. I mean, this is really, really, really bad stuff. Blue number 1 and blue number 2. The FDA is also taking steps to authorize 4 new natural color additives as well. But the plan is contingent on an understanding with major food companies that they will voluntarily remove them to meet consumer demand. That's not good enough. You don't get to kind of poison the American people and sort of volunteer at your convenience to not poison the American people. Folks, we need to be moving on to pesticides. We don't have time. We don't have a lot of time to get these poisons out of the system. And we, you know, folks, honestly, we may see Democrats pick up the House and the Senate, and they are going to get big bucks. Bernie Sanders already does to thwart this. We don't have a lot of time. Make them reverse this. This should be done to comply with the law. Because I know what they'll do. They'll slip it into a budget when they take back over again, force Trump to sign it. And another generation of kids will be poisoned. And we'll sit around and wonder why we have ADHD. We'll sit around and wonder why boys who are skinny have breasts. We'll sit around and wonder why we don't have attention spans. We'll sit around and wonder why the video length we can pay attention to gets shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And folks, you know what else is bad about these dyes? Really bad? If you saw what your food looked like without the dyes, you would not only not eat it, you wouldn't give it to a kid. The quality is so bad. And they hide it with the dyes. We've got to stop eating this stuff. We do. It's terrible. And again, these companies can do this. They already mass produce stuff with or without poison, depending on what country they're sending it to. They can change over the supply lines. It's not that hard. They already do it. Folks, do not be surprised when Donald Trump manages to avert World War III. The process of getting there might be a little bit messy, often is for him, but his foreign policy record is pretty much spotless. Had almost perfect foreign policy last time he was in office, and I expect it again. Being able to get that Mideast peace deal that nobody had ever seen before, nobody thought was possible. So here's what's going on right now, and this is really, really interesting. Watch this in the next 72 hours. Trump threatened to walk away from negotiations on the war. What does that mean? Well, if America walks away, it means Russia can pretty much do whatever they want till America walks back. So Putin then followed up with saying, okay, we'll freeze the lines where we are. We won't go any further. That's a concession we haven't seen before. That's good. I was watching this overnight because normally when Putin starts to concede and he comes to the table for peace talks, these NATO Euroweenies immediately launch missiles, bombs, whatever it takes to just pummel the heck out of Russia. They'll pretend it's Ukraine doing it, but it's really them from a bunker in Germany. There's a war room in Germany with our CIA, our Pentagon. I guess we're still in it now. I don't know. But we were under Biden. New York Times reported that 2 weeks ago now. It's been 2 or 3 weeks. That this whole time we have been at war with Russia and we were running the war. And there's an actual bunker from which we were fighting it. War room, if you will, in Germany, which is just shocking to me how close we were to World War. And look, folks, I told you it was a proxy war. I told you Ukraine ain't running this thing. They hired an actor, y'all. That's what Zelensky is. So here's what I expect to happen in the next 72 hours. You will see some sort of something launched by NATO at Russia to try to provoke them off that peace posture and get them back into war. That's what happened last time. They got really close in the peace talks. For right now, and you can't believe anything Zelensky says, but for right now, he is insisting on peace. So, okay. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky this morning said, in Ukraine, we must insist on immediate, full, and unconditional ceasefire. Okay. We'll see. If they just do that, we can begin peace talks. But Trump's got to get this thing wrapped up before he leaves office. Because otherwise they're going to accelerate it into World War III again. They'll, you know, especially if we had a Democrat win, they're going to want to launch it. Trump's got another problem too. They are, I'm telling you, it is, they are going to want to fund Ukraine and keep this thing going. Right now, that's not on the table because they're still running on the money that they got in the fall. All the printed cash that they got in the fall, they're still running on our money. That's how they're still fighting NATO and Ukraine. That's how they're still fighting Russia. So when Trump says, I'm going to walk away, that's fully loaded. That means, wow, no money. Maybe. We're not sure. So Trump's running out of time, too, because you're going to have Lindsey Graham and other people try to insist on another tranche of money, probably in unmarked bills, for Ukraine. But maybe he gets this done. We'll see. But if NATO follows the precedent here, you're going to see them launching a whole bunch of junk at Russia, try to keep this thing going. Next 72 hours, get Russia to respond. Last time it worked, and they were able to undo the peace talks. Because trust me, Europe wants war. It's extremely profitable. We're not the only ones feeding at the trough. But keep your fingers crossed. We do not need World War III on top of all of this.